I'm in San Juan, the capital of Puerto Rico, the United States territory in the Caribbean. It's an island between the Dominican Republic and the US Virgin Islands. When I left the airport, I thought I'd travel to an overdeveloped American playground of casinos and high-rise apartments linked by freeways. But everything is different when you cross the bridge to the historical heart of the capital. You'll be immersed in a town of tightly packed, balconied Spanish colonial buildings, housing shops, bars and restaurants. Every few hundred yards, the lanes open out into squares and piazzas, most with fountains at the centre. But it's the colour that you notice first.
You can see it's very colourful.
The buildings are painted like a tube of Smarties.
You need to submit what colour you're going to paint it to the Culture Institute. And they are going to make sure that it's not the same colour as your neighbours, even if you own both buildings.
You could easily spend a day wandering around San Juan, this beautiful, historic city. Even the cobbled streets are colourful. They used river rocks for the road surfacing, but they became slippery when wet. So they coated them with furnace slag brought over as ship's ballast from Spain.
We have over 63 inches of rain a year. It can go up to 80 inches of rain a year. We have the ocean. The Atlantic Ocean is right at our doorsteps. So little by little, oxidation happens. Iconic blue color. So iconic that if you try to take any of the loose ones home, they'll probably fine you about a $200 fine.
Old San Juan couldn't be less American. It's more like Seville or Sitges.
I love my city. It's walkable. It's 7x7 streets. It's very small and very rich in culture.
If a sign says, like, we're open 11 to 6, but you put an ish after it, so it's 11-ish to 6-ish. Everything's very flexible.
Spanish is spoken in the street, and Latin rhythms fill the air. I was surprised to find a band of 8 men dressed like Shakespearean actors in tights and baggy breeches. These students mix traditional Spanish instrumentation with Puerto Rican music. They're known as Chuno Bardos. Many Spanish universities also have similar groups who perform as 15th century vagabonds would have done.
Thank you, guys.
Of course.
Great stuff.
The lads play regularly in functions around the old town.
There used to be a wall going all around the city. They demolished part of it because they needed to allow the city to grow.
Thick, tall stone city wall ribbons the compact town, and 3 corners mighty forts protect it. These should be on your itinerary, and I met up with Javier Ruiz from walksanjuan.com.
In order to protect the port, they built a small fort here called La Fortaleza. There's a problem. If the enemy makes it all the way to this beach, it's too late. So they built another fort on the tip of the island of Old San Juan. And they built another fort on the other side of the entrance of the San Juan Bay. So there used to be crossfire. La Fortaleza, the original tower, it was turned into the governor's mansion. The governor has been living there since the 1540s.
These fortresses help provide a safe haven for galleons carrying gold and silver.
Each fort has built with a higher elevation. So if they take over the first fort, they attack from a taller one. So it's very, very hard for the enemy to take it over.
So right now we're cruising on the south side of Old San Juan, okay?
Luis Salva told me that Old San Juan looked even more impressive from the water. So I met him for the 60-minute sunset boat trip.
And then from this point you can also see the entrance to the harbor. The fact that this is so narrow made it easy to defend. So once they had the forts, and we're going to see 2 of them on the west side of the city coming up, they also built a couple of forts across the way. There is one straight ahead on that island. That island is called Isla de Cabras.
We were on the water and just a few feet of the magnificent Del Moro Fort, towering high on the hill with thick walls built into the cliff face. You can tour the fort's different levels as I did and look at the gunpowder batteries, taking in the impressive view.
We're probably, 100 feet from land, and we try to keep it as close as we can to all these landmarks. You know, that's where you can really appreciate the magnificence of you know, all these historic buildings and the whole wall.
Javier's customized tour will take you to Old San Juan places many visitors wouldn't find. There are many tiny museums, often run as labors of love. Casa del Libro, a museum dedicated to the history of books.
They have a page of the original Bible, the Guggenheim Bible from the 1450s. And it's a very nice printed page. You know, you think of an old book, you think it's an old page falling apart. This is not.
San Juan used to be the seat of Christianity for the region, where the bishop administering Central America and the Caribbean was based. There's lots of religious heritage, 33 chapels within the square mile, the oldest church and oldest cathedral. Inside the 1700s-built San Francisco Chapel, there's a splinter said to be from Christ's crucifix. It's preserved in a glass case.
So it's been here since the Spanish times. And every Good Friday, they used to bless those splinter.
Despite the forts and walls, which have been granted UN World Heritage status, locals still felt vulnerable and feared invasion. There's a rabbit warren of tunnels under the town, which locals built as bolt holes or emergency escapes.
If I have a house, I build a tunnel so I can escape in case I get invaded. Or I can put my kids in a safe place and I can fight the enemy. So there were many independent tunnels that haven't been really accounted for.
Some locals used the tunnels as wine cellars.
Hi, how are you?
I'm here at the Rosa de Triana restaurants. They use part of an underground passage as a dining area. I've come on the SanJuanFoodTours.com walk so I can eat in the tunnel and sample one of Puerto Rico's signature dishes. Once we were seated, we were given a pilon. It's a mortar and pestle to mash up fried green plantain, roasted garlic and butter. That is then added to rice and beans to make the traditional Puerto Rican dish, mofongo.
So you want to make sharp rotating motions. If you start mashing it too much, though, it'll start squirting up the garlic and the butter.
It's hard work mixing the ingredients. Chicken or seafood is then added to make a creamy, almost risotto-like dish. You'll get a good cup of coffee in Puerto Rico. The island was once the sixth largest exporter.
There's a saying, but it's something like your coffee should be really hot and really strong, like love, and it's a really nice saying.
Paolo Garcia is from the Princesa Gastrobar, another stop on the food tour. He says coffee there is historically quite sweet and light roasted to avoid bitter aftertastes.
There's this anecdote that we share about how the Pope at the turn of the 19th century repeatedly requesting the Vatican to only serve Puerto Rican coffee because of its high quality. Right now, some of our coffee, specifically the coffee from Hacienda Tres Ángeles, the Three Angels Plantation, currently gets sold in Italy as a gourmet coffee.
Old San Juan has a relaxed and friendly nightlife with lots of intimate bars, many lit by candles. Some, like the cocktail bar at La Terrazza Hotel, only seat about half a dozen people. It's just an open doorway off the road with bar stools next to the counter. There you can sample a wealth of cocktails, including Puerto Rico's famous Pina Colada, the busy and a bit touristy Barraquina, and the Carib Hilton, both claim to have concocted it first. I'm off to Puerto Rico's biggest tourist attraction, a world-famous distillery visited by a quarter of a million people annually. Next. This is the Great Destinations radio show. I'm in San Juan in Puerto Rico.
And the city per se is only about 1 square mile. So it's very small and there's a lot to see in this little piece of land.
I'm going to San Juan's biggest tourist attraction. Around a quarter of a million people take a 10-minute ferry ride across the water from the old town to the home of the Bacardi Rum Distillery each year. The ferry ride's cheap, less than 20p, with great views back over the city. On the other side, you catch a bus for the 10-minute drive to Bacardi.
Hi, Bacardi, yeah.
And it was an eventful ride. The driver was in a world of his own. He didn't wait for the car park entrance barriers to rise. He drove through them. When you arrive, you buy a $12 ticket and wait for your guide in a rather cool, literally cooling, open-air pavilion underneath a huge solid white canopy. It's meant to be a bat, the Bacardi logo. I thought it looked like a nun's wimple. My guide was Señor Riviera, who told me his first name was Jesus, adding, "With a name like that, you know you're in good hands." I suspect he's used that line before.
We have the historical tour. We do have the rum tasting tour. Or if you want to learn how to make classic drinks like mojitos, daiquiris, or actually Cuba Libre, which is the famous Bacardi and Coke, we have a session for that too.
Inside the visitor center, Jesus gave me an overview of cocktails. Mojitos were originally called the Drake. After Sir Francis, he had his men drink them for the vitamin C in the lime. Daiquiris are named after a small mineral quarry town in Cuba. The name stuck because it was easier than asking the barman for a drink containing all the ingredients.
85% of the Bacardi rum sold in the world comes from here, from Puerto Rico.
So the chances are that the Bacardi that we buy in Britain is coming from this building here?
Oh, definitely. In here, we're capable to produce up to 100,000 gallons of alcohol a day.
100,000 a day?
Yes, wow. Sir. Welcome to paradise.
You don't actually go into the distillery, but you get to learn about the company's heritage and history, how they make rum. You get to smell the product as it goes through the production stages and taste the different types.
Okay, you're going to be tasting now. Pretty much you have to get your nose in, catch the aromas and the notes. In wine tasting, the first one is the most important one. In rum, the last one is the important one. When you smell it, basically, it's going to be the first one is going to be the ethanol, the alcohol. Then you start feeling those layers, basically, of the notes of apricots, vanilla, nutmeg. And when you swallow, you bring it into your mouth.
You've got a good job, haven't you?
Yeah, thank you.
And, of course, you can't leave till you've been to the gift shop. There are dozens of Bacardi souvenirs, including spectacles with wooden frames made out of old rum barrels. Possibly better than beer goggles. You can buy their top-of-the-range rum and fill your bottle from a massive barrel, or have the bottle engraved with a message. Paul Margarita was on duty overseeing that.
We will hard wax it too, to seal it and everything. And of course you do the label, or the whole job you basically do it yourself. Something out of the ordinary.
I think it is worth going to the Bacardi distillery. Yes, the presentation was very slick and polished, and it's a big promotion for the brand, but I learned things I didn't know before.
We are open all year round. This is a tourist destination, and 7 days a week, of course, we're here.
On the way back to El San Juan, make sure your camera lens cap is off.
We see and we encounter dolphins, we encounter manatees, green turtles we experience here, all sorts of fish, tarpon we see a lot of. From this point, you know, the Atlantic is, what, maybe a mile away to the entrance to the harbor.
Well, I spotted pelicans.
So actually, you can see them perching on this tree right here. They eat sardines here in the harbor, so you see them just, you know, going under and grabbing that. It's a common sight here. You can also see a parrot. We have flocks of parrots. Actually, there are two right there. Look at them.
Those amazing colors, aren't they?
Yeah, they're beautiful.
Green fluorescent parrot. Green.
So that's a species, we call them Dominicanas. They're from the Dominican Republic. But we have our own in Puerto Rico. We have a native species of parrots. And those we don't have that many specimens of. We probably have about 50 of them. But we are finally being able to raise them in captivity. So they just released about 15 of them in the rainforest.
More wings caught my attention from the window of a gallery. The butterfly people have covered every available space on their white walls with framed butterfly art. The specimens are all in flight and the display's really colourful. Serene Reven's parents started the business 47 years ago. They don't kill them, it's just that they have a short lifespan. They're imported from all over the world. Some of the works are commissioned especially by people who want an arrangement in a particular colour.
Butterflies have been mounted from Victorian times. Butterflies have beautiful symbolism, and that's what we show in our art.
You can see more bright tropical colours in the flowers at San Juan's Farmers Market. Each Saturday morning, the museum courtyard is filled with music and merchants.
Susana.
Or listen out for the cry of the flower vendor, Saul Darila.
Susana.
He walks through the old town streets selling flowers, a job he's done for 25 years.
Susana.
Crime and safety can be an issue outside the old town. There's an infamous ghetto called La Perla, just a few hundred metres from the Del Morro Fort. Locals will point out where it is. You'll probably get a sense you're straying into a dodgy area as a visitor in any case.
Unless you go down there asking for trouble, La Perla almost has an unwritten rule or unwritten deal with the state. If you don't go down and bother them, they won't come here and bother your tourists.
Craig Lindemann's relocated from mainland USA and says you're safe within the walls. There's a high police presence because of the government offices and because of the amount of tourism. Cops stand on duty at fixed points into the night.
Little ladies 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, walking home with the groceries and feeling perfectly safe.
I stayed two nights in El San Juan, and it's great for a city break or a stopover, heading to Central America, the US, or Caribbean. If you want to stay longer and explore the rest of the island, and there's 3,500 square miles of it, arrange your travel beforehand. Public transport's non-existent.
Yet in such a small area, we have, you know, a rainforest, we have a dry forest on the southwest corner of Puerto Rico, mountains, you know, valleys and beaches throughout.
Norwegian. Fly the 9-hour route from Gatwick and you can get a return in March for £329.
This is the Great Destinations Radio Show.